So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. Yeah. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
What's going on, everybody?
I see on the intro, and it's been a while since, to me, it strikes me as it's been a while since we've heard that intro.
It's at least a week.
Okay. Makes me think of the big UFC fight last night. We see three titles on the line last night. Did you watch any of that?
I did not.
Did you see the highlights of any of that?
I did.
Okay.
I saw the cheap, like, stills, right?
Okay. Well, and really, it's of note, I guess, really, is that Max Holloway lost, right? Ending his streak of title defenses in the I can't even remember what weight. That's one that's, I want to say that's featherweight.
Yeah, well.
Featherweight,
it's
lightweight.
One of the little fellas. Escapes fucking me, I'm kill sorry. Me in a half a second.
Yeah, and so, yeah, to me, yeah, that he lost is newsworthy.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Anyways.
I'm finding it harder and harder to, and I think part of it is, and we've talked about it before, the extra divisions have added that many more guys. It's harder and harder to keep track. But also, I think the deal with ESPN has caused other outlets to kind of go, eh, like, do I want to keep pumping something that's really only helping my competition? I think it's kind of hurt them a little bit. We're only a year, maybe two into this, not even two. Into this sort of landscape.
Well,
but I don't think it helps.
Well, what you're seeing though is they were running the highlights freely and openly and
sure,
repeatedly on TSN.
Yeah, has a working deal with ESPN, and that would be the same on SportsCenter in the U.S. So it's good exposure there. But if you're watching anywhere else, you're like, they're not gonna pump it, right?
Well, and Amanda Nunes also
I saw that.
Also defended, but she went a full five.
Yeah.
Right, escaped a triangle choke. She sort of, as opposed to buzzsawing through people like she normally does.
Honest to God, speaking of people who'd kill me in a half a second.
Right, honestly, and
we're gonna book that one day.
She's, yeah, all right. I would watch that.
I know you would.
Couple of beers right here on the couch, right in a small space, Matt. It's perfect for you.
Oh, it has to be. Yeah. I need a contain.
Matt in a singlet, grabbing
Yonder
one hand,
giant
pounding
style.
Like you're trying to pound a fence post
just
in.
Slowly going to sleep, man. Just being taken apart.
I love it. Let's do it.
What are you drinking today?
Aujourd'hui, I am drinking a little gem I found in the fridge. Mm-hmm. It's a leftover from my trip down east. It's from the Brightwood Brewing
Company.
Oh, I company.
Thought we had finished that off. Yeah.
It's the Minutes California Common Lager.
Ooh. And is it common so far? Have you had a chance to take a swig on it? Do you find it to be the common lager?
Yeah.
Yep.
I find it true to the your run-of-the-mill lager.
Okay.
Now, it does have a bit of that sort of, I want to call it, you know that beer taste you have when you're a kid?
Yeah, and like this sucks and I never want to drink
and
it again.
But that flavor that you sort of go, that's turning me off, that you learn to sort of
embrace. Tolerate.
Put up with, yeah. It's got a strong finish like that. It's very, to me, it's very light off the top.
Okay.
With that strong sort of traditional beer, lager style beer flavor that finishes it.
Headlines here, man.
Which when you get.
Rob finds this lager to taste like a lager.
Yeah. But to, you know, when you drink, this is going to maybe flesh it out a little further for you. You know when you drink your common trash Molson Canadian?
I do know, yes.
And then maybe you've pounded a bunch and now you've got to a spot in the evening where your gums are flapping and you're not drinking the beer.
I turned on a microphone.
At the steady pace that you normally do. And the beer gets a little warm.
Yeah.
This has that flavor.
But cold.
How about that?
That's a glowing recommendation.
Well, no.
As in?
Well, like anything else, right?
What did you say? It's called the Minutes?
California Comet. You have minutes
to finish this before it becomes
undrinkable. You actually have hours because it already tastes like it's going to taste like when it's warm.
All right, fair enough.
And really, because any beer, and the reason you have to drink your Blue or your Molson Canadian, you got to drink it super cold because it tastes like shite. And so the warmer it gets, the fuller the flavor becomes, right?
It's true, man.
And so
the fuller your belly feels.
Yeah, less sexy.
Yeah.
And so
perma sexy.
It's a closer trip for some of us than it is for others. It's in that neighborhood.
Okay. I am trying something that you've brought over unwittingly, like so many things in your life. That I had been interested in trying for a while. Though I do thank you.
Completely by accident, as you suggest. Thoughtful? No. See last show.
Right. This is something that I had seen maybe over the summer, or maybe last summer. The years kind of get away from you. That Steam Whistle had started a new beer. And for the longest time, their deal was do one thing very well. And that was the slogan. That was the motto. And they made their Pilsner, and they did it very well. And then they started to branch out, and they had to stop using that slogan and whatever. So this is called the Von Bugel. You have to say it just like that, or it's no fun at all. You might as well not even be drinking it.
Von Bugel.
Yes. Munich Lager.
Correct, Matt.
Thank you. My understanding, loose as it is.
My understanding was that there would be no math.
Was that this stemmed maybe from Colorado, but from somewhere else, and they brought it in to brew in Canada. We haven't been able to affirm that, but affirm will work.
Confirm is where I would go with that.
I'm using affirm. I'm sticking with it, man.
You're a positive affirmation type guy.
That's all. Everything about me is very positive. So it is their Munich Lager. It doesn't say anywhere on it. Steam Whistle, like you got to dig a little.
I did have to dig for that.
Yeah, to find out and affirm that it's a...
And have you cracked it yet?
Yeah,
you
long, a few swigs into
you
it.
You long-winded prick.
That's different, folks, than you long prick.
Yeah, for sure. The winded is very important in there.
Yeah. It's all right.
The guy who has been forever middle of the road...
Yeah.
Has come down in the past two shows, well, decidedly on one side of the fence here.
The last one was not all right.
You know what? I made some chili and I brought it into work.
Yeah.
For United Way, raising money, right? So I did up a hearty.
I preferred to have the money.
Vegetarian chili, right?
Okay.
And so people paid, I don't know, I gave it to the United Way rep and said, you're handling it, you do your thing.
Right.
The manager came back to me and said, no, she sent an email saying it was fantastic. It was better than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But when I spoke to her the next day, she said to me,
it's all right.
Your chili was quite fine.
Oh. Now, see, I would take that as a compliment. Quite fine is, you know, maybe a little British or something, right?
Yeah. Like, all right.
We take fine as mediocre.
Well, it's fine.
Quite fine to me is elevating from there, not like very average. I'm saying above average.
Yeah,
is quite fine.
Yeah, I took it as it's like, hey, what do you think of that? It was okay.
You're always just looking for a reason to be annoyed with people. And
it rained down blows.
Yes. Throat punches everywhere. Merry Christmas, fucker.
Yeah. All right. That's
too much? A little too much?
Probably too much when I'm talking about my manager. Yep, probably.
It's not my manager.
Yeah. But yeah, to me, whatever you said about that beer right there.
It's fine.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'd rather just go back to a Steam Whistle.
But do you not find it smooth and easy drinking?
I do.
Right.
It's fine.
It's not going to. It's not going to irritate you, anyway.
No, if you kept it's not like it to me, I'd keep drinking
it's
it.
It's not, okay, there you go. Yeah. All right. Now, that's the thing. Would you buy it?
Nah.
Would you drink it on a dock?
If someone else was handing them to me. Like, that's the difference. I'm not going to buy it. But if this is what's being provided on somebody's dock, yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
If somebody's giving it to me, yeah. Well, we've all crossed that bridge where you go, sure. I'll drink whatever it is you're handing me.
No, what not time that, of it? Not what? That fucking Tuque de Brew Porter from the last show. If someone hands me that on the dock, I'm pitching it over my shoulder right in the fucking lake.
Or right at the person who brought it.
Yeah.
Bring better free beer.
It's not a pitch. It's staying in my fist. As exactly.
Rolling nickels, maybe?
Exactly, man. That was a bad beer.
See,
this one's fine.
Try it yourself. Try it yourself.
I encouraged that. Go back, check out the last episode of Talkin, sportstalkinaudio.com, or wherever you're listening to this.
Yep.
Last week, the tiny perfect commissioner, as you want to call him,
the TPC,
announced that there will not be a World Cup of hockey in 2021. They had been discussing doing it
in 2020.
Nope, 2021. All-star break, maybe expand it a little bit instead of doing it in September. And some of the thought was, well, maybe that means that's because it's very close to 2022 and they're going to end up in China at the Olympics. And Chris Johnston reports, yeah, no, they're not close on that either. This fucking league, when they started the World Cup again in 2016 in place of the Olympics because they knew they were not going to go to the 2018 games in Korea, was, we're back. We've taken all this time off. We have been inconsistent as fuck with a World Cup. We're here now, and we're going to do it. And they made it once. Should have been 2020 September, as you're suggesting. That would have been 4 years since the last one. That obviously wasn't going to happen. We're dicking around in Gary's fun land of CBA talks, and you can't, you know, lock anything in because they didn't have a CBA locked in.
Busy being inducted into Hall of Fames all over the place.
Oh my God. So the idea was, and honestly, if they could have made it work, I would have preferred a mid-season World Cup. It's not guys just rolling off the couch. It is feasible. If the Olympics is feasible, and you don't have to go to China.
But the Olympics is not.
It is.
It's what they're saying.
No, it's what they're saying. But if I don't have to go to China, right, if I have to go to Chicago instead, we each play a quick round robin, and you could do that in 10 days instead of the, like, 2.5 weeks that the Olympics in China takes. You could do it.
How would you feel about the league running?
Consistently?
No, the league running while the World Cup was on.
I don't know. It seems kind of dumb. Everybody loses their best players. It's no, I guess the World Juniors does it with Ottawa, the CHL.
Ottawa doesn't. We don't lose any players.
No, there's a reason for that. But
we're good. That's why I know there is. The statement is tongue in cheek, my friend.
Yep. No, I don't see any reason to. Because you would also be cannibalizing your own event, right? People are watching the Blackhawks instead of Team USA. Yeah,
I'm just throwing it out there, man.
Okay. It was a terrible idea.
Yeah, I'm all right. Shot down.
Just like Tuque de Brew Porter.
Okay. It's the coffee porter. Don't forget that. The cafe porter.
That wasn't at all.
Was low on the coffee flavor. You're
for
right.
For sure, man. Okay. So are you surprised that the NHL could not run a consistent World Cup? And that they may also, like, to me, the most likely reason to cancel it was because they were going to the Olympics, and they're also, it seems like, not doing that.
Well, because there has been no CBA ratified, right? That's a question.
No, there has not been a CBA ratified.
And so, to me, we can't close the door on the Olympics because they're still waiting for the IOC to really sweeten the pot enough to the spot where the owners are like, okay, you're going to cover insurance and travel and blah, blah, blah. You're going to handle all that. Otherwise, we're not going.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, they want to see what the IOC is doing. And they also, likewise, want to keep that bargaining chip open.
Yes.
Because they know the players have huge boners to participate in the Olympic Games.
But this was Gary's project.
Yeah. So the World Cup, doubling back to that, I am not surprised because this is a league that can't seem to get out of its own way for lockouts or whatever it's been.
Now, the last Canada Cup was 91, I think.
Yeah, the first World Cup was 95.
96.
96.
So that's 5 years. Then the next one was 04.
Yeah.
So there's 8 years. And that one landed on the eve of the entire season lockout that they had 04, 05.
And so
then nothing until 2016. And in 2016, we're back. We're doing this every 4 years. It's going to be a regular thing. Cities are going to bid. And you didn't make it one time.
Right. And you're, it's because of all the heavy, heavy negotiations that the NHL is having with themselves, right?
Yeah.
And the NHLPA, there's nobody. I don't know what they're doing, and it's a complete fuck up.
Do you miss it? Do you?
I didn't like the 2016 version.
It was boring. It was so forgettable.
And it was boring. And I think if you look at that 96.
That was killer hockey.
That was outstanding hockey. And I remember being so dejected when Canada
Mike
lost
Richter
it.
And...
Well, Claude Lemieux, man. What are you doing, Claude Lemieux, bringing the puck around, back around, reversing the play? It never makes it out of the zone when you do that. I know that.
Okay. Right down to a specific play.
That guy, I'm with Scotty Bowman. I'm hopping off the bus and I'm cussing you out in front of your wife and kids. Claude Lemieux, be better. Yeah.
04, everyone knew. Everyone knew the minute that tournament was over, the lockout began. So it was like, well, I guess we'll get our fix, but... No one really gives a fuck here. Canada plays the Czechs in the semis and the Finns in the final in a completely forgettable affair.
That was 04.
That was 04.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
and then they didn't have one until 2016.
I was in Athens and I think the final was 2-0.
It was low scoring.
Beat the Finns 2-0. Yeah. That's with Kiprasov in net.
Yep.
I was in Athens and trying to get up in the middle of the night to try and find a CBC internet feed.
Oof, early days, man.
Yeah, something where I could, yeah, well, for,
how'd
man,
that go?
Not well at all.
Dial right? up, fucking.
So, yeah, instead I just stayed in bed and I woke up in the morning and found out we won 2-0.
Yay.
So, yeah, a little delayed. Woo!
Yeah. It was dull, man. The whole thing was just dull. And so they finally come back around, they get it in 2016. It's not that good. They invent a couple of teams that takes, you know, if that's where you're at, then just have a six-team tournament. Like, can we stop with the North America under this and the Europe that?
Well, see, the European team, which ended up winning a silver medal,
yep.
To me, was making
run
the
by Miro Chetan
was making the best. Chara was on that team.
Yeah,
Was making the best out of a bunch of decent players.
But there's nothing about that that would make me want to compete.
Okay. There's nothing about that that makes you want to buy a jersey.
No, there certainly isn't. Although the North America jerseys were pretty sweet. The young guys, it kind of looked like an NWO kind of invasion kind of thing.
But it was
very cool.
It was a good team. It was just too young.
It's funny that.
Yeah. Yeah. The young guns.
Yeah. Bang, bang.
Yeah.
Losers.
So lame. But yeah, it's you know, the idea that you'd have McDavid and you'd have Matthews and whatever else not being able to play on your
right, Eichel.
Yeah, you're like, wow, it's kind of stupid. Right. McKinnon.
Oh, it was a great group of, you know, what they would become.
McKinnon stood out the most. That was really to me his.
Well, and you'll balk at this, but Morgan Rielly had a great, like, he all of a sudden became a number one defenseman on a team, right? And was very,
you're right,
or
I'm
top
gonna,
pair.
I'm going to balk at it anyway.
You don't fucking know.
You're out here in the street and you don't even know what time it is.
Do you care that we have all but guaranteed there will be no best on best hockey for at least another 5 or 6 years?
Nope.
I'm going to miss it a little. I don't really care where they play it, whether it's the Olympics or a good World Cup or whatever. But we are pissing away generations of, like, are we not ever going to see Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby on a team together?
I want to see Crosby and McKinnon.
Sure. Oh, fine. But at some point, Sidney Crosby's going to turn 38. And
Yeah. No. And I looked at it and went, I love 2010. I was so invested in 2010.
Of course, yeah.
2014,
it's harder.
Less.
Yeah.
And the team was super dominant.
And the tournament was boring.
And the tournament was boring. There was not a lot of ice goals scored, right?
Yep.
And to me, that's big ice hockey.
Yep.
It's sort of people think, oh, more ice, more opportunity, more skating. And you go, yeah, people just outside the dots, they just leave you out there.
And just hang out, man.
And so to me, it actually is the exact opposite, right? So I would like to think, if I could channel my 2010, my 96, my all those sorts of things.
Where were you in 02? The Olympics.
I loved it.
I was fired up for that.
For sure, man. That was great. That was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, those sorts of things. But if it's 2014, 2016,
right.
I find myself much less excited by the concept.
Were you excited to see that the San Jose Sharks decided to punt Pete DeBoer and his entire coaching staff, which is kind of rare? Often the assistants get to stay.
One did.
But, to the curb last week, as the Sharks have been weird, man. Got off to the shit start, went on a bit of a run, 6-1 or something after that, and then went right back in the toilet.
Lost 6 in a row, I believe. Yeah. One Saturday night passed. Yeah. I was super pumped to see them
fire. Well, that win was under Bugner.
Yeah, the boogeyman.
Yeah.
I was super pumped due to the reason that Ottawa holds their first-round pick this year.
Oh, then you should have been looking for the status quo, man.
Yeah, well, I think where I'm going with this will illuminate my optimism by this firing.
Okay.
Pete DeBoer is probably the best thing that they had going for him. You have a trash defense there. To me, this is on Doug Wilson. We talked about it with Dubas, with the Babcock firing and what was happening there.
Mm-hmm.
That set off the whole shitstorm that is still engulfing the league right now. Pete DeBoer, not necessarily quite as exciting or as sexy.
No.
But this is Doug Wilson.
Well, Mrs. DeBoer may beg to differ.
Yeah, this is Doug Wilson firing his coach because the team he has assembled, if you look at
bad.
Carlson, Burns, Vlasic, and Martin Jones, there's almost $33 million in your salary cap, and all, I believe, have 5 or more years left on their contracts.
And 3 years ago, you'd have been totally fine with it.
Loving it. Guess what?
We're winning a cup.
2019, and as of recording, Brent Burns is a minus 23.
Oh, good Lord.
And so here's the beauty slash, cringeworthy if you're a Sharks fan, is, they let the entire staff go except for the boogeyman, and they've given him the keys to the car.
Yeah.
He was running the defense.
Right.
He was the guy in charge of opening the door and not fixing whatever was happening back there. The tire fire that was their defense. Now, they're getting terrible goaltending.
Yes.
Which they got last regular season. But the flip side is they also have no cohesive
plan on
the defensive end.
Oh, that's not what I was going to ask.
Okay.
I wonder how much walked out the door this summer in terms of cohesion in the locker room. You've turned over a lot with Carlson coming in. You've kind of turned the team over to your young guys, your Timo Meyers, your Thomas Hurdles.
Tomas.
Sure.
Evander Kane.
And the
solid
captain.
Citizen that he is.
Joe Pavelski leaves. Now you still have Jumbo.
He's shit in the bed too in Dallas. I got him in the pool. Pick it up, Joe. Pick it up, little Joe.
You're killing Rob here.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's all Rob cares about.
I wonder how much of that is a factor, if anything.
Well, and they do talk about...
Brought back Big Patty Marleau.
Yeah. So Pavelski's out. Braun's out.
Yeah.
And...
I'm trying to think of
a guy in Colorado.
Oh, Donskoy.
Jonas Donskoy.
Not sure he was part of the core there.
But you are talking about that middle layer.
Sure.
Right? When you remove that, you've brought back Thornton again on a very team-friendly contract.
Wow.
He's got no goals.
No.
Like zero.
Yeah.
Hey, what's less than zero? Nothing. Joe Thornton, that's you, buddy.
What's cooler than being ice cold?
Yeah. You should be
all right.
Playing for HC Davos now.
I think
Joe.
He wants to,
now is the time, Joe.
Go, go.
This is it. If you are
you can get there in time for the Spangler, buddy.
Yeah. So Doug Wilson, who has signed all these guys to these long term contracts, it looks like a and again, I don't want to be a Monday morning quarterback. I missed Carlson when he left.
That's what we do here.
Yeah, but when he got traded away, you know,
talked then. Are you super confident, even if he was still in Ottawa? You confident with 8 years, knowing the injury history? And that was before whatever mangled him last spring.
The groin and everything else. Because as you continue to try and struggle through the Achilles and the ankle and the comeback and everything else starts to be...
What could go wrong?
Everything else starts to be compromised, groin with your stride and all these sorts of things.
I hate when my groin is compromised. Man, my whole world is just
he is in you talk about Price and Carlson is in year one of eight years.
Yep.
Yeesh. That is a scary looking thing, right?
And so we talk all the time about what happened to the Kings or what happened to the Blackhawks, where you win your cups, but you had to lock up your key guys and you're gonna pay for it later.
Yep.
San Jose, not only did they not win their cups, which is what a lot of people rightfully are pointing to the mistakes Toronto might be making. But they didn't stop making those moves. When the window was, when it was clearly time to move on to the young guys, they kept locking people up, right? Yeah. And Carlson is the big fish there. And you just wonder if it wasn't time, again, hindsight for sure, to go, okay, we're turning it over to the young guys. Yeah, you'd like to bring in some support for them. He's clearly just trying to keep that window open as long as he can, and he didn't realize it was slamming shut no matter what else.
Like, do you think you could find somebody to take Burns' contract?
More likely than Carlson.
How about Vlasic's? How about Martin Jones?
No. I wonder how much you think, because the goaltending has been bad.
Sub 900 from both he and Dell.
Right. And I think Friedman said on Hockey Night yesterday that they were clearly trying, they wanted Dell very badly to create a battle there, a competition there. And it just hasn't happened, I believe they said during the late game. But I wonder how much of that save percentage is impacted by the just brutal defense that's happening in front of them. Like, neither of those goalies have been good enough, but instead of being 885, should they be 905, right? You wonder.
And somebody said, would San Jose be a good spot for Craig Anderson?
Craig Anderson says no.
Rob Christie says no. You don't need him going in there and spoiling our draft pick.
Okay. Yeah, only an idiot. Pierre Dorion.
Yeah.
Come on down, I guess. Yeah, trades right. A potentially great
Something
starting
about
goalie.
Shoe to ruin fitting, I'm not sure.
I would love to. I now have only one thing the entire rest of this season that I'm cheering for. Craig Anderson. Now, you know what's going to happen. They're going to trade him to Florida, and Florida will flip him to San Jose in a return for Hoffman.
In the reverse Hoffman.
The reverse Hoffman, your lesser-known sex act.
Yeah. Yes. Gross. I'm not sure where we're going with that. But so that to me is... That's a tragedy.
This show's title is The Reverse Hoffman.
Yeah, it's a tragedy of Shakespearean proportions. Yep. Really, what's happening there, and we're doing what Colorado was doing to us last year, right? You're standing here rubbing your mitts, going, "Are you kidding me?" Like right now, they are in the bottom 10 of the league.
Yeah,
and
could easily be.
They're still in Detroit. In April.
Now, I was doing the annual or weekly whatever trip through Twitter last night. Hockey Night is sort of the unofficial end of the week, right? And someone said that after, you know, how bad Detroit has been, Ottawa has two lottery picks right now, but Detroit's odds of having the first overall pick are still somehow better.
Yeah.
Well,
Detroit's been atrocious.
Would you, if you're a Sens fan, and you are.
It's true.
Would you rather have the number one pick or picks 3 and 4?
I want picks 3 and 4.
Yeah. I think if you're rebuilding, especially this is supposed to be one of those drafts that's really, you are missing Lafreniere. You're probably going to miss Byfield, but it's supposed to be a deep draft. If you can grab two guys in the top five, I think you do it, right? Like I think that could be just as beneficial for Ottawa, but they tend to lose out on these,
for sure,
when
they
the
do.
Lottery's gone.
Much in our favor last year, right? When they were like, "Oh, look at us! Ooh, what do you think?" Yeah, what do you think? And you're like, "Well, look at those guys."
Speaking of subpar defense, I know you were kicking around looking a little bit at Ryan Murray as the Sens took on the Blue Jackets last weekend. You know me, I always confuse that guy with Ryan Murphy, who I think they might have been in the same draft.
Who does not, really, to be honest with you.
I just can't fucking care, right? Carolina, and the other was Columbus.
Yeah, it's really, I'm going to help you out here. I'm going to throw you a lifeline, Matt.
Please.
Because you're out there just...
waving at it.
Yeah, kicking up waves.
Yeah. It's going to sound great when it's done.
Yeah, watch it. Sure it is. It's some crazy, it's the magic of editing, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, back last Saturday, watching the Sens and the Blue Jackets, and seeing, you know, you hear about Seth Jones and Zach Werenski and how they take up all the headlines, and then nestled in there quietly on the second pairing is Ryan Murray.
Yep.
Who, and I'm thinking, Ryan Murray, man.
For a long time, thought a bust.
Yeah, well, and I'm thinking, wasn't he a first overall pick? And I'm like, no, okay.
That can't be right.
No. Yeah. So he was the second overall pick in the 2012 draft.
Rob was the second person in the calendar year 2019 to visit his hockey DB.
Yes, okay. Honestly, I'm all over it. And so I was looking at going, 2012, so what draft was that? And I'm trying to think of who, so I know for those of
you. The Yakupov.
I know all of it is the Yakupov okay, draft. Sweet. That is the first overall pick. That's Morgan Riley's draft pick, draft year two. He went 5 to the
Should
Leafs.
Should have been first.
So this is what I'm saying is if you look at that.
I don't even know if that's true. I don't know who went ahead of him. I know you could have gone ahead of Yakupov.
I'm about to tell you right now.
By all means, man.
I think I am anyways.
Okay.
So it was definitely Yakupov's. Now, would you rather have Yakupov or Patrick Stefan? You know, fully with hindsight, yeah. As part of the deal.
I think Stefan hung around longer. Like Yakupov ended up in Colorado and in St. Louis before. But I think Stefan, like.
Stefan played 450 games, yeah. to the 365 that Yakupov played.
Okay.
Very similar, 60 odd goals for both of them.
Yeah.
More points for Stefan, but okay. More games.
Right.
But yeah, Yakupov, classic flame out. But that draft was. That draft was.
Only reason we brought this up.
Yakupov. Followed by Ryan Murray.
Yeah.
Followed by, it was either Galchenyuk or Grigorenko.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by Griffin Reinhardt. That's your top four right there.
Speaking of Oilers.
Yeah. And you're like, oof, that's putrid.
It's terrible.
Okay. Then it's Morgan Riley. Then it's a bunch of other guys who may be driving.
You really should have gone first over.
Delivery for Chinese food. Well, whoever else, you know, who else is in that first round yeah. in terms of Radim Faksa, these sorts of guys, they're big in that draft year.
Yeah.
Really, the only other guys of note in there, Dumba and Trouba, I believe are both in that draft.
Okay, yeah.
In that first round.
Yeah.
Andre Vasilevsky is in that first round.
Right.
And late in the first is Tom Wilson.
Ugh.
Oh, I love Tom Wilson, man. And I'd love to have him on my team.
Yeah, well, that would change everything.
Yeah, well, you guys are beast. But
guy's a shithead.
Yep. All right. Sometimes the two go hand in hand, Matt. You know how it is. But other than that, now those guys are decent players, right?
Yeah.
But you have 25 guys who, man, are of low impact 7 years later, right?
And I'm thinking,
is that as bad as the 99 draft, which
99,
was,
baby.
Which was the aforementioned, and I'm doing a bit of reading on the 99 draft, and it's saying it was lauded and heralded to be deep in talent. And I'm like, what? That's 20 years later, baby. That's not how I remember that.
So are you reading about this? Because you're worried that this much lauded deep draft of 2019 may not be as deep and as talented.
So I am very, but let me just, and I'm just going to read you the 99 draft.
Okay.
So heavy at the top, right, with Stefan,
yeah.
And then the two Sedins, right?
Right.
All the wheeling and dealing that went on with that.
Yep.
But I'm just going to read you off, and you tell me in the top 20, who you would draft again with a first overall pick. Hindsight being what it is.
Right.
Right? So you have, Sedin at 3, then you have Pavel Brendl, right? You have Tim Connolly, You have Brian Finley.
Never heard of that guy in my life.
You have Chris Beach, right?
Okay. Part of the Yager deal?
Yeah. You have, okay, here's one for you. Taylor Pyatt. Jamie Lundmark.
Senator legend. Jamie Lundmark, New York Rangers.
Yeah. Branislav Mezzi.
This is terrible.
Oleg Saprykin.
All right.
There's one for
you. I know
you.
That name.
There you go. How about this one? Denis Shvidky from the Ukraine.
Oh,
of
yeah.
course.
Oh,
everybody's frame. Yanni Rita.
Ukraine in like a wrecking ball.
Jeff Gilson. Scott Kelman. Who the hell is Scott Kelman?
Who right, are so, these fucking guys?
Yeah.
This is, when you go a couple seasons deep in EA Sports, NHL 07 or whatever, and the computer now has to start generating names for you to draft because all the real prospects
that's coming up. That's coming up next with David Tanabe.
Okay. I remember David Tanabe, former Hurricane.
Barrett Jackman.
I remember him, Blue, I think.
Konstantin Koltsov.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay, here, how about this one? How about Kirill Safronov?
Never heard of him.
All right. Barrett Heiston?
Nope, no idea.
No, okay, see, Nick Boynton, how about that?
Yeah, played like 10 years in the league, I think. Bruins, mainly.
Everybody's favorite, Maxime Ouellette.
Yeah, goalie.
Yep.
Yeah. He was on the World Junior team.
Steve McCarthy, not Big Steve, not no. UFC ref.
Big John.
Lucas Arrieta.
Yeah, I remember that name.
Mikhail Kuleshov.
No idea.
Oh, how about here at number 26, to your Ottawa Senators, Martin Havlat.
All right. So far, number one over. No, he's behind the Sedins.
Then you have Ari Ahonen.
I do remember Ari Ahonen.
Christian Kudrock.
Nope.
That is your first round, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
Which of those fuckers were Leafs? Who did the Leafs take?
Morgan Rielly.
Oh, yeah. Morgan. No, that's 2012. This is 99.
99. Well, I don't know.
Must
man.
Have traded our first round pick for Owen Nolan that year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't know. I don't
All
know.
Right.
But that is the absolute crapshoot that comes with.
Oh, that's a terrible fucking draft.
There's nothing. There's nothing anybody can do to rival the shite that came out of this draft.
The Sedins and Havlat are the only thing you would go, yeah, give me that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
So.
3 of 30.
Now.
Ugh.
Cycling sideways again, as we do here.
That's fucking terrible.
Yeah, with the Pete DeBoer.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. Flipping back around.
Sure.
But that is absolute crap, am I right?
Yeah.
There's no going away from that. Pete DeBoer said he would coach again this year if the opportunity was right. Now, did you read the Hatchuk article in The Athletic?
No, usually don't.
Oh, yeah, me neither, really.
Eric DeHatchuk is not on my list of...
He was talking about the possibility of Pete DeBoer being hired on to coach Seattle.
Yeah, I could see something like that.
Now, they don't start till the fall of 2021,
yeah,
right? But that would be one of those things where you go, like Jerry Gallant... being dumped by the Florida Panthers. Yeah, like absolutely, we've called you a cab.
Yeah.
Here's your shit. Wait over there. Bus is leaving. Your players are all looking at you. Right. Like what a fortuitous cut that is, right? And Vegas is like, yeah.
I'll take that guy. Plus your whole first line.
Yeah, we'll take him. The fact that if DeBoer was willing to wait, what a great, because he also outlined the bump that each team that DeBoer has gone to, Florida,
Jersey,
and San Jose.
Yeah.
And in a couple of those, Jersey and in San Jose, yeah, went to the cup in his first year of coaching.
Florida and San
Jose. No.
Jersey. You're right, sorry.
And San Jose. Yeah, no. But a bump to like mid-90 point for the Panthers at that time. So I don't think by the sounds of it, if you're willing to coach this year, you're probably not willing to wait.
No.
You know, a year and a half to get back into the league. But what a great hiring that would be.
Let's say you personally are Pete DeBoer. You are head coach guy. You make the final calls. You make head coach money. What does it cost Toronto to bring you in as an assistant?
It requires.
You've obviously still got to make head coach money because you're no longer going to get, you know, some guys want that, right? That ego stroke. I've often wondered
It takes me to be, you need to pay me $4 million bucks.
Head coach money.
And you need to give me the title of co-coach.
Okay.
Well, that's what happened here when they hired Crawford, right? He was a co-coach, not an assistant.
Yeah. He was coming out of Switzerland.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, in terms of what it is, you're seeing that more often now,
yes,
right?
You are.
The idea of, well, I'm not going to be an assistant to you.
Right. Associate, sometimes, instead of assistant, you see?
Right. But yeah.
I wonder, this is one of those things, as they've talked for so long about Toronto, what can they do outside the cap? Why not? How much would it have cost you to bring in? Now, word is maybe they didn't get along, but why didn't Toronto bring in Joel Quenneville to work with Mike Babcock? Like, I understand.
You can't have too many cooks.
But you have the money. You spend it on scouting. You spend it on your everything else. Why not on your coaching staff? Would Pete DeBoer be prepared to come in and work with mentor, whatever, Sheldon Keefe for, $3.5 million a year instead of...
It is the one place where that could happen.
But they haven't done it.
They're not going to do it either. I think they feel like...
The problem becomes, are you threatening your head coach? You're bringing in that guy behind him who could take his job if you had to fire him, right?
Because Sheldon Keefe is the new fat-faced green in Vancouver.
All right. I don't mind that. But it does seem like
they're going to get it done out there.
Toronto has been willing to flex in a lot of places,
but
they haven't done it on the coaching staff, and I wonder if it becomes...
Really? Because they're paying...
No, I understand. The head guy.
A gajillion dollars to not coach.
But you're bringing in to work with them, Haxtell and McFarland. I wonder if it is that you can't bring in guys who could easily be seen as
replacements. Yeah, Dave Haxtell is not going to bring a little bit of the cachet that DeBoer has.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Especially in that market, right? DeBoer coached in Kitchener as a junior player.
Right.
Did great things there, right? He was much heralded.
Well, I remember in 05 or 06, whenever it was, and Pat Quinn made a horrible mistake. He was coach and GM. They said, you can give up one, but you can't keep both. And he said, well, then I'll coach. So they hired a GM above him. That GM went out and hired Paul Maurice to coach the Marlies.
Yeah.
You go, I can see where this is going, right?
So. Oh, wait, I'm fired.
So, yeah, it just seems like one place that Toronto could spend more money, but it becomes very political and tough to do.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.